Thank you, David. Always an excellent job. And thank you this morning for joining together with us in our praise and our adoration to our Father in heaven. And I know that you will join me in thanking God for the opportunity of going to heaven someday. How wonderful heaven really will be. On that bright and cloudless morning, the song says, when the dead in Christ shall rise. Can you imagine how wonderful it would be? No clouds. You know, everybody talks about the weather. Have you ever noticed that it becomes the common topic of discussion with most folks? The weather. If it's in the winter, we're talking about all kinds of problems. If it's in the summer, we're talking about all kinds of problems. People stay tuned to the Weather Channel quite often. And you can go to the Weather Channel and you can even type in weather.com and find out what's going on here in Palestine or perhaps in a lot of other places. Now, the reason we do that is because we want to find out about that 7-day forecast. I know. I do the same thing. I'd like for them to give me a forecast a little beyond the 7 days. I just kind of like to know their aspirations and what they really think might be going on. Well, whether you're talking about rain, we'd like to see some of that, wouldn't we? Be praying about that today, would you? Or whether it's sunshine, on a beautiful sunshiny day, we have plenty of those. Or whether you're talking about the wind blowing, and it really, really does, doesn't it? Quite often dries out, parches the earth sometimes. But whether you're talking about the rain, the sunshine, the wind, or maybe snow, who knows? Whether you're talking about tornadoes that blow through and devastate as it has done before, even our own community. Or whether you're talking about hurricanes that oftentimes blow up in the Gulf, and they do, and as a matter of fact, Eduardo, I think, is one they anticipate maybe coming into the Gulf and maybe another little disturbance down there. And this time of year, generally the only time we get rain is when there is a hurricane out in the Gulf. But whether you're talking about those or not, one thing is true. Everybody talks about the weather. Randy Travis sang that song, as long as old men sit and talk about the weather, and as long as old women sit and talk about old men. I didn't know they did that. Mark Twain once said, everybody talks about the weather, but no one does anything about it. In the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 35 through 41, we have a vivid account of the weather. Now, they didn't know that this storm was going to arise out on the Sea of Galilee. But what happened that afternoon is monumental because it has great impact, I think, upon our lives as well. There was darkness, there was dashing waves, howling winds, heaving and tossing of the ship, fears and cries, and bodies thrown like balls up in the air. And they were so torn apart because they thought they were going to die. And out of desperation, in the book of Mark chapter 4 and verse 37, they finally go to Jesus, who is asleep in the hinder part of the ship, and they awake him and they say, Master, Master, we perish. But if you were reading Luke's account, they asked the question and said, carest thou not that we perish? You see, they were desperate. They were afraid they were going to lose their life. And so they turned to Jesus for their salvation. Couldn't wait any longer. They had to awake him, for they feared for their very lives. Now, does that sound familiar? It should. How many times in our own lives have we gone into the presence of God when we feared for our physical life and we prayed unto God that He might spare us? The Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long. It is 6 miles wide. And it is 700 feet deep. Now, I describe those dimensions to kind of give you a picture of the Sea of Galilee. And I'm told that on any given day, a storm could erupt out on that sea off Galilee, just a little small body of water, and you see it there by Tiberias. Just a little small body of water, but on any given day, a storm could erupt. Now, they didn't get the weather forecast before they went out on the Sea of Galilee that day. However, our Lord Jesus Christ knew it before they could go to weather.com. Christ knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew the lesson that he was going to teach. He knew exactly how they were going to react with great fear. And in that account of Mark chapter 4 and verse 35, the Bible says, And the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. Jesus knew what he was doing. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was into the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. Now I want you to keep that in mind. They were with him other little ships, great witnesses to what Christ was going to do. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in that back part of the ship, the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him, and they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased to blow, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now get the picture here. Jesus rebuked the wind. Can you imagine Jesus standing at the helm of that ship and rebuking the wind and saying, peace be still? And in the 8th chapter of the book of Luke in verse 24, after he was awakened, he arose. He rebuked, as he says, the wind and the raging water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. One version says, great calm. When Mark writes, he says, peace be still. The word peace is the word seopao, which literally meant to hush or to be quiet. There was a strange feeling of calm after the storm. They were full of fear at one moment, and now there is silence because this impending disaster changed in the single utterance from the lips of our Master Jesus Christ. Now, you and I face storms every day. You face a storm, I face a storm. There are some storms that we face that are common to all of us, like natural disasters. We hear about them every day. We hear about those tornadoes that play havoc with various cities and states around our world. We hear about the natural disasters of the hurricanes, not only in the Gulf, but out in other places, bodies of water as well. We hear of hail that will beat down the crop of the farmer. Natural disaster. And there are things that happen that God has set in order and for His purposes alone. We may not understand why they happen. I can tell you when the Israelites were down in Egypt and there were those plagues that God brought on them, they didn't understand what it was all about. God had a purpose behind it. But there are storms that are common to you and storms that are common to me. But they're not only natural disaster storms, but there is the storm that we call the storm of death. The death of a loved one. A storm. Sometimes storms invade our home, and they take our loved ones from us. Sometimes those storms come when we least expect it to come. It was kind of like that storm out on the Sea of Galilee when they left the shore. They were not anticipating a storm. Everything was fine. It was sunshiny, and they got in the ship, and Jesus said, "Well, let us go to the other side." And the other ships just kind of followed along. You will know historically that most ships did not get on turbulent waters. They don't do it in the Gulf. They didn't do it on the Sea of Galilee when a storm was arising, because those storms could be so devastating. They could be so great. Matter of fact, some of the lexicographers and scholars say that it was much like a hurricane that erupted that afternoon on that body of water, and they were so afraid. It wasn't just like a common thunderstorm on a June day or a May day or like April showers. But there is that storm of death that occurs when we least expect it. It happens. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. We read of Jesus going to a town called Bethany, outside of Jerusalem. And as a matter of fact, Christ had three friends there. They were very special friends that lived there, and they had endeared themselves to the master teacher. And believe it or not, one of them was so sick, he was nigh unto death. His name was Lazarus. Now, Lazarus was unique. He had two sisters, two siblings, and they were a very close family. And matter of fact, the word had come to Jesus to come hurriedly up to Bethany because their brother is getting ready to die. "We need you here, Lord." And Jesus delayed his coming. And the disciples said, "He's going to die." And Jesus says, "Wait a minute, he is only sleeping." And in the book of John, the 11th chapter, verse 20 and 26, the story again unfolds in this way. Jesus finally gets to Bethany, and Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, he will give it unto thee." And Jesus said unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." And Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection, I am the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And he asked her the question, "Do you believe this?" There are storms of death that occur when we are young. I have preached funeral services, memorial services for young babies, stillborn babies, babies 2 and 3 years old, teenagers who were killed in a late night accident. I have spoken at memorial services for people who have died almost at every age in my 40 years of ministry here. Death is common to all of us. Sometimes we anticipate it, sometimes we do not. But nonetheless, it happens. And it comes upon us sometimes like a storm that rages in our life. But then there are storms sometimes that we have with our family. You know, when we have problems in our family, it is a storm, isn't it? It is a storm. A stormy marriage. A stormy relationship with our children. A stormy relationship with your mom and with your dad, and perhaps maybe with other family members. And when we read the Bible, we recognize that there were all kinds of storms that would often erupt in families. So much that even a brother could kill his own brother. So much that one would want to in the book of Luke chapter 15. When we read of the story of the prodigal son and the bereaved father and the elder brother, we read about a horrible storm. And as far as we know, the storm still raged. There was not a calm in that storm, for we're left hanging. The elder brother had nothing to do with the younger brother. sometimes storms in our families can be so devastating. And we all experience them. And sometimes we turn to the Master who can say, "Peace be still. Bring peace back to our family once again." But then there are storms that often arise among friends. You know, we treasure our friends. I treasure mine. But sometimes people have problems. Sometimes their personality clashes, and sometimes maybe it's over someone saying, "You said, she said, he said," and a storm engulfs us. And sometimes it's very, very difficult to deal with such storms. Prophetically, in the book of Psalms, chapter 41 and verse 9, the Bible tells us about the coming of Jesus. Believe it or not, this is a prophetic passage that relates to Judas betraying the Christ. And David brings this passage to our mind and says, "Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted." Judas was the treasurer, you remember. "In whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." And if you were to go to the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, you would again find that prophecy coming true. That the Satan himself would wound the heel of Jesus, but Jesus would eventually wound the head of Satan. Problems with our friends. Sometimes people divide and fragment with one another. When at a time, one time, they were very close friends. They were inseparable. But the storm comes, and the storm rages. And it's very devastating. But sometimes there's the financial storm. We hear more today about financial problems than I have ever heard about in my life. More economic problems going on in America today. And America even stands almost at the edge of bankruptcy in some ways when we see what's going on in other countries around the world. Could it happen here? Could such a financial storm be so devastating to bring this country down? I think so. Financial woes, storms, and they come. And sometimes we invoke them ourselves by what we do, our spending habits. And then we have a tendency to blame God or blame others for what happens. We have more indebtedness in this country than ever, ever before. People use the little plastic charge card over and over, and they build an immense debt that they cannot pay. And the storm comes. Let me remind you of a passage of Scripture in the book of Proverbs 22 and verse 7. The Bible says that the rich will rule over the poor. You know why? Because the borrower becomes the lender's slave. You start paying high interest rates on that money that you acquire through a charge card or down at the bank or lending institutions, and you will be paying on it sometimes the rest of your life. You will never get out of debt. You will rob Peter to pay Paul, and then you start robbing James to pay John, and eventually you run out of people to rob. And the storm comes. You pull your hair. You beat your head against the wall, and you don't know where to turn. But then there's the storm concerning health issues. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I've been sick. Didn't anticipate getting sick, but it happened. There have been times in your life, no doubt. Illness comes upon us sometimes abruptly. Sometimes you awaken in the morning and your stomach is hurting you. And it bothers you. And you realize it's more than a Malox moment. You've got a serious problem. There may be a cancer that is eating away at your body. Or the pain that you feel suppressing against your chest and your sternum turns out to be heart disease. Health issues come like a storm that arises on the horizon. And we lay suspended between heaven and earth. And we cry out to the great physician, heal me, O God. In the book of Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, we read of our Lord and what Jesus did, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Bible says, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all, he says, that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. And we know today that Jesus, just as he could calm the storm out on the Sea of Galilee, that he can stop a storm that rages within our body physically. Now, I've told you before that sometimes God chooses not to still the storm without, but to still the storm that rages within in our lives. Sometimes he chooses not to take the illness away from you, but to take you away from the illness. But nonetheless, he says to us, peace, be still. But then there are storms that result from our sin. For Romans 3 and verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We all sin, and even in the guilt of our sin, Christ stands before us and he says, peace, be still. And he rebukes the sin in your life. We all have storms in our life. Whether it's health issues, whether it's death, friends move away, loneliness, friends hurt us, our children are disobedient, family problems, brothers and sisters in Christ that cause us troubled waters, whether it's the loss of a job or perhaps the dissolving of a marriage and divorce, or whether it's financial problems or problems with your property. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7, listen to it. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you and exalt you in due time. And casting all of your cares on him, for he careth for you. You know what? We need to be as desperate sometimes as the apostles were desperate. I think of the great writings of the Old Testament, the words of David in Psalm 69, verse 1 and 2, that says, David wrote and said, save me, O God, for the waters come nigh unto my soul. I sink in deep mire. Where there is no standing, he says, and I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. Paul in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 9 and 10 said, we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivers us from a great death and doth deliver in whom we trust. In whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. And then in John the 14th chapter and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. You see, these disciples, and you and I can do the same thing, they found comfort in the humanity of Christ. And he was human. For the book of Hebrews 4 and 15 says, for we have not a high priest which cannot, he says, be touched with the feelings of infirmities. The feelings, those storms that come into our life, but was in all point tempted like we are, yet without sin. He understands our weaknesses as human beings. You see, Jesus was human. He needed sleep as a man. He did. That's why he's resting and has closed his eyes in that ship. But God never sleeps, for the book of Psalms 121 and verse 4 says that he neither slumbers nor sleeps, but he is the shade upon thy right hand. Jesus became tired as a man. He rested at the well at Sychar. In John chapter 4 and verse 6, but God never tires, Jeremiah 32 and verse 17. Jesus was a thirsty man. Not only did he need water then, in John 4 at Sychar, and he asked from that Samaritan woman the drink of water, but on the cross Christ cries out and he says, Father, I thirst. And instead of giving him water, they gave him vinegar mixed with gall. But God never needs sustenance, Psalms 50 and verse 12. They found comfort in the deity of Christ as well. Not only in his humanity, but in his deity. They didn't understand. Sometimes we don't understand why things happen in life. They only needed his word. He didn't need a staff or a mantle like others, but only his word. For Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And then in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You see, when Jesus spoke, the great tempest became a great calm. Like a calm after a stormy day. In verse 25, the Bible says, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Do you realize this morning that all of creation obeys God? But one, and that's man. The birds flit through the heaven at the will of God. Even the trees cry out, the Bible says, and praise our Master and our Lord. We often sing about it in that great hymn, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. Aged men and children strong. The apostles feared the storm at first, but now they fear Jesus. They should have known. No storm-tossed ship could ever sink because Christ was in it. And we ask, why couldn't they see this? Why? The question I ask you this morning, are we any better than they? The waves of the world rage against the church of the living God today. And we're just as fearful that it will capsize. Yet the world will never prevail against the overwhelming nature of God's kingdom. I know that because Christ said in the book of Matthew 16 that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Never. Let me ask you a question this morning. And it's a question that obviously concerned Jesus with those that were on that ship. How impressed is God with your faith? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. For without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. God says to us, as he says to all of his children, hold on. I am holding you and I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you even to the end of the age, or even to the end of the world. Matthew 28 and verse 20. But let me tell you something this morning. If you're not a Christian, you have every reason to feel insecure on the sea of life. But you have the power to change that. You need to get Jesus in your boat, in your ship, in your storm. And you can do that by believing in Jesus Christ as God's Son, and changing your life by repenting of your sin and confessing the wonderful name of Christ to be the Son of God, and by being lowered in water and raised out of that water in the act of baptism for the remission and forgiveness of all your sin. But the real issue this morning is not Jesus, one that stills the storm, but is he in your boat? Is he in your ship? And do you want the security that only Christ can bring? The only one who can really bring lasting security. And you've heard me say it before, but it's true. A man is no fool to give up what he cannot keep to hold on to what he does not have to lose. And that's a relationship with God. I hope this morning, if you're not a Christian and you realize that you have a stormy life, there's some problems going on in your life. And if you were honest, there were some things that really need to be changed in your life. If you're honest, things you've been anticipating changing for a long, long time, but you've not done it yet. You know they're there. And you know the water is about to engulf your ship. Are you man or are you woman enough to turn to God and invite him in? Tomorrow may be too late. Some said that yesterday and died out of Christ. Too late. Some will not invite him in today. They will die. And tomorrow will be too late. I hope it won't be for you. Let us stand and let us sing.